Moment in the atmosphere of God. I want to give you a little bit of biblical instruction, and then God's going to do some business. I believe he's already doing it. Acts chapter 3, if you want to turn in your Bibles. We're going to be looking at a beautiful day. Today's a beautiful day. Amen? Come on, turn around and tell someone, today is a beautiful day. Turn around and tell someone, you're looking beautiful. Come on, even men can look beautiful. You can have beautiful men. Amen. It's always the women that get all the applause, man. Come on, men can be beautiful. Hallelujah. There are some beautiful men around. Glory to God. Today is a beautiful day. Amen. Acts chapter 3, we're looking at something that took place after the power of the Holy Spirit came. The church is beginning to be born on the day of Pentecost. And we're looking at something that was a game changer. Something that caused things to start to kick off in the church, through the church and society, but definitely in the life of one man. Some of you know you could be one man or one woman. We can feel absorbed in the church. We can feel like we're sometimes a minion. You know, you see that film, Despicable Me, and this dude's got all these. Those of you that ain't got kids, you might not know what I'm talking about, unless you are a big kid, in which case you've watched it anyway. And this dude's got all these little yellow things running around. They're his minions, and they talk in funny languages, and they do whatever it is that he wants them to do. And sometimes we can feel like that. We can feel like a minion. And a minion is someone who is less than. He's someone that does your bidding. You know what I mean? And how many of you know we're not minions? You're not a minion. Turn around and tell someone, you are not a minion. Now look back at that person and say, in Christ, you have dominion. Hallelujah. Very important that we remember this. Things started kicking off. And we see that there's some very important keys that we can look at and how to see beautiful things happen in the Lord. Jesus is beautiful. We know that on an intellectual level. Sometimes our hearts feel warm towards him, but on a very practical level, he's very beautiful. Amen? And he does beautiful things, and he loves people individually, and he wants to do beautiful things in your life. Amen? He wants to make change and bring joy and do all that stuff. And we see here that there were some things that took place. It says in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, we're going to read through to verse 11. It says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting something, some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Woo! That's calling it on. And then he don't stop there. It says, and Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized it was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. We're in a beautiful place of opportunity every time we come to church. But sadly, many people end up staying in the same condition day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and they come to the beautiful place. They hang around places where God is worshipped, and where God is spoken about, but instead of seeing God meet their needs, they end up waiting like crippled beggars for other people to meet their needs. But today's a beautiful day. Turn around, look at someone, say, today's a beautiful day. The man at the beautiful gate was probably expecting the same results that he'd always had. A little bit of scratch to help him through the day, to give him a little bit of temporary relief. The truth is, the most you expect is the most you're ever going to receive. His problem that he'd been born with was holding him captive. Some people have problems that they weren't born with, they just kind of got involved in later on down the line. There are some lame people in the world that were born lame. Some came to lameness out of stupidity, like the man who got drunk and jumped out of a window, broke his legs. Some had an accident, they were just walking along and some random cyclist just drove into them. Whatever the situation, his problem, which was very real, was holding him captive. How many of you know that there are many of us that have problems hold us captive? They stop us, really and truly, from living the life that we were created to live. Anything that stops you from living the life that you were created to live has no place within your Christianity. Now, I'm not saying that every lame man's going to jump up, every blind man's going to see, every paraplegic needs to be healed, and if they don't, they're in sin or they ain't got enough faith. I don't believe that. But what I'm saying is, sometimes it ain't even just a physical affliction as much as the heart attitude and the spiritual affliction that holds people back. Because people do not expect that there's going to be a change. And what you do is you get involved in spiritual pain management. So there you are, you're all messed up, but you've learned how to cope in Christ. Christ helps me cope. In that case, Christ is your crutch, not your foundation. It's something you lean on to help you limp through your life. But he's not something that you build on. Oh, you ain't catching this. This man was there expecting the same thing that he expected every day, that someone would come and give him a handout to help him through the day, to relieve his problems temporarily. But he would have to go back the next day and beg for someone again to get another bit of scratch to get him through the day. And if your Christianity just about gets you through the day, then you're serving the God of not enough or just enough at best. But we don't serve a God of not enough or just enough. His name is El Shaddai. He is the God of more than enough. He is the almighty. He is the all-conquering, undefeatable. He is the biggest, baddest, blessest, goodest, most perfect, unchanging person in the universe. The God of more than enough, the more than a conqueror God. So this man had some problems. But don't be put off by his problems, because God definitely ain't put off by yours. I mean, if you know, sometimes we come to God and we go, oh, I've got this problem, God, and it's too difficult. What? I'm God. Imagine God sitting there on his throne going, I'm God. You're trying to make that problem bigger than me. Nothing's bigger than me. Look around you. Ain't nothing bigger than me. Are you with me? I'm the biggest thing there is. Outside of me, there is nothing. Inside of me, there is everything. That problem, to me, that mountain that you're looking up, looking at, going, oh, I'm looking down at going, what? God ain't put off by our problems. It don't matter how big they are or how bad they are. God can deal with it. I believe that everyone has a beautiful day waiting for them. Maybe today's yours. Ooh, come on. Don't let me start getting all Pentecostal, man. Because I can. I might be a white guy, but I can get down. You know what I mean? And for the benefit of the podcast, I am white. Someone sitting there is going to be listening to that going, what? Here are some lessons from the beautiful gate. You ready? I'm going to give you 7 lessons from the beautiful gate, and then we're going to come to the altar. We're going to anoint you with oil. We're going to pray. God's going to break through, change your life, set you free, heal your sickness, and all the rest of it. You're going to go away, and there's going to be evidence of it. If God's done it, there's going to be evidence of it. But I have faith in my God. Here are some lessons from the beautiful gate. Number one, be consistent. Be consistent. Consistency always puts you in a favorable position. How many of you know? The day you don't turn up at church is the day that God turns up in a way that you've never experienced before. Ever happened? Has it ever happened to anyone? The day you didn't turn up at church, everyone goes, wow, man, God came. And you're like, oh! Even buses turn up at some time. And you can be waiting at that stop for 10 minutes for a bus that comes every 5 minutes. And then you will move and you'll say, well, I'll just walk to the next stop. And you'll be walking on, thinking I've done the right thing. And then all of a sudden, wave your hand in the air if that's ever happened to you. Come on now. Because we stop, we lose our consistency. Even dumplings need the right consistency. Come on now. How many of you had a starchy dumpling? Ugh. It's like eating putty out of a window. But the dumplings mama cooked had the right consistency. They was in the oven for the right amount of time. And when they come out, they just got that little thing about them, you know. The right consistency. This man, on his beautiful day, was in the right place at the right time because of his consistency. He was always there. Now, he didn't realize, sometimes we despiritualize the physical when they're all joined. Sometimes we think that coming to an altar is not spiritual. Where's the spirituality in that? Where's that in the Bible? Right? Sometimes we don't, well, why do I need to go to church every Sunday? We live in a modern age now. We've got the internet, TV, podcasts. The physical aspect of it is very important. Watch this. He was only turning up there out of consistency because he had his nice little spot. He knew that if he turned up something, he was going to get something just from being there. Some of you know that if you turn up on a Sunday, you're going to feel better going away. But you might feel better, but you might not be better. But at least you know that turning up regularly on a Sunday or for prayer or for teaching means that you're going to leave with something better than when you came in. But the expectancy sometimes doesn't go beyond the physical. But the physical's a start. He had to be there. Are you with me? Are you with me? He had to be there. But he was expecting something temporary, but God was getting ready to unleash something eternal. Number two, second lesson from the beautiful gate. Ask for what you need. Ask for what you need. Sometimes massive problems come from being mute. Some people, you want to mute them. Some people, you wish they had a mute button on your body somewhere, you know. Wish God had given us a mute button and you could just be talking to him. You just press the mute button and watch him. Anyone know what I'm talking about? But not asking is a problem. But also asking for the wrong thing is just as bad. James chapter 4, verse 2, the second part and verse 3, it says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Huh. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. That's heavy, huh? So you don't want the right thing. So you either don't ask for it and just trundle on doing your little thing, just expecting just a little bit of relief. Are you with me? Just expecting a little bit of temporary relief. Well, I'm off the heroin now. I'm on the methadone. I'm doing really well. I'm clean. You ever heard that? Amen. Well, I'm not like this no more. You know, I'm doing all right. Temporary relief. So we either don't ask, or when we do ask, we ask for the wrong motives. So ask. 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 Those of you that have been going through it the last few days of headaches and madness and this and that, how many of you sat down and went, God, take this away from me? Right? But remember to ask for the right thing. How many of you ask God, why is this happening? God, what do you want me to do in this situation? See, there's asking with the right motive. The truth is that God gives us what we ask for, but he'll do it with the big picture in mind. For example, you might ask for a job. You want a job. How many of you want a job? Let me see if you want a job. How many of you want a job? You really want a job? Come on, man. Those of you who really want a job. All right. You want a better job. Right? So you ask for a job. It's cool. You ask for a job. And then what happens is you ask God for a job and an opportunity for further education or training or experience turns up instead. And then you're like, man, I just wanted a job and all of a sudden I've got to take another course. That's not what I asked for, God. And God's like, all right, well, if you want a job at that level, I can give you it now. But I'm seeing you here. And between here and there needs to be this taking place. So you asking me for a job, I want to give you a job. I want to give you the best job, though. I don't just want to give you a job. I want to give you the job. So it'll put you in a position where you'll have to learn something else or you'll have to get a little bit more experience so that you can get to where it is that he wants you to get, because then that's when things are cooking on gas. Or you can go round and round and round and round and round and round and round doing the same old thing the same old way all the time. Do you understand what I mean? God will answer your prayer, but he just won't necessarily do it in the way that you expect it to be done. He'll do it in the way that he knows it needs to be done. Amen? Or, see, it's not instead of, it's in preparation for. Or you're desperate for a relationship because you think that another person will make everything right. And instead, you're in seemingly in full singleness for ages. I know how that feels. I got saved. And I was 7 years single as a Christian. It was hard fighting off all them women. My goodness. It's a battle. It wasn't easy. And I weren't there going, oh, I'm happy to be single. Oh, no, let me go to the singles thing. I really insist. I'm praying, God, I don't want to be single. Bring someone, give me someone, show me someone, bring someone. It's difficult. But that's the point, man. It's not instead. It's in preparation for. God was preparing me for the right person. And not only that, he was preparing her for me. Because when I got saved, it was another 7 years before Vicky came on the scene. She was still out there doing her thing. I could have settled for Miss Wright now, but how many of you know he was preparing Miss Wright? Hallelujah. And I thank God I didn't marry Mistake. Listen, ask, but ask with the right motive. Are you with me? God don't want you to enter a relationship as half a person. You just ruin the other person's life. You just suck them dry. He wants you to know who you are in him so that you're whole, so that when you enter into a relationship, there's two ones and they come together and they multiply each other. Not two halves that are kind of holding each other up like two broken things. This man asked. He saw him coming through. He asked them for some money. He asked them for what it was that he always had, but he asked. He was proactive. He wasn't apathetic. He was proactive about his needs. Number three, be expectant. How many of you are expectant that God's about to do something in your life right now? Right now, he's about to do something. Right now, today, right now, at this minute, right now, in a moment, he's going to do something. He's doing it already, right now. I'm not trying to pump you up. I'm just asking, have you got faith? This man clearly expected people to give something to him. He was a beggar. He expected to receive. He asked, presented himself there. He asked, he expected to receive. When Peter and John rolled up, he asked them. But then watch this. When they told him to look up, he did, expecting something. How many times have you been in a church service or you've been in a service or you've been somewhere and the man of God or the woman of God has come and they've said, you know what, I believe God's going to do something today. I sense it. I believe it by the word of God. I've got faith in God and in his word. I believe that he can do it. I believe that something's going to happen. And you just go, bah. Maybe intellectually you don't assent to that. You know, maybe you don't think that the Holy Spirit still works, or maybe, you know, unless it's presented in the form of a flower, you ain't going to assent to it, whatever. But what about if God is going to turn up and do something like he's done many, many times before, all throughout his word, and he wants to do it in you? Are you expectant? He expected them to give him something. And that's more than most Christians do, if we're honest. Number four, fourth lesson, respond quickly. Respond quickly. Between God speaking and you acting, should really, ideally, be no more than about 7 seconds. For us, it takes weeks, months. Imagine Peter and John said to him, Peter said, look at me. And he was like, all right, next week. Let me suss it out first. I need to find out who you are. I need to get your credentials. I need to ask around about you. You know, where did you go to Bible college? What credentials have you got? What's your doctrinal stance? Let me pray about it. I don't even know when God tells you to do something and you say, let me pray about it. Who are you going to pray to? When the man was told to look, he looked. When he was told to stand, guess what he did? Guess what he did? He stood. Respond quickly. One of the things that I've always known is that whenever God says something to me, shows me something, reveals something to me about my now or about my tomorrow, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to do it right now. Whether I understand it or not, I'm going to do it right now because I'm getting it from the right source. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to respond right now. I'm going to speak right now. I'm going to speak right now. I'm going to do this right now. And often, you don't understand it. I didn't understand why I was struggling to get one message and then all of a sudden I got two for today. I didn't understand. I said to Vicky, what one should I preach? I got two messages. I'm struggling to get one. Now I've got two. I had two messages that I was preparing at the same time. Tricked out. It's hard enough preparing one, right? I had two that I'm preparing at the same time. I'm like, what one do I preach? Well, I'm just going to prepare them both. Respond quickly. Number five. Don't let your past rob you of your future. Oh, it is a big one. This man had been crippled since birth. His experience told him he couldn't walk. That was the fact of the matter. But he moved out of fact into faith.
because something revealed to him that now was different. Is now different to you? Is now different to you? Number six, accept help. Accept help. When Peter said to him, look at me, he looked. When Peter said, he asked him for money, Peter looked at him, right? He said, look at us. He said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk, right? So the man responded. But then what happened? Peter grabbed him by the arm and helped him. I mean, you know, sometimes your faith needs a little hand. Sometimes there might be someone that's been where you haven't been, and they can say, listen, I know where you're at. I hear what you're saying. This is where you're going. I've been there. Let me help you. Let me give you the word. Let me give you the benefit of experience. Let me give you the benefit of my faith. Let me give you a little bit of testimony. Let me share with you about some of the things that God's done. And then maybe that will give you the little boost that you need to get up and start walking in the way that God wants you to walk. It don't matter where you've come from. It matters where you're going. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It matters where God's taking you to. It doesn't matter what you think you know. It matters what God's showing you right now about what he knows about the future, about your life, about your destiny. He knows about your history, but he's the one that reveals your destiny. He's the one that has made good works for you to walk in beforehand. He's the one that knows of your affliction. He knows of your addiction. He knows what you've been through. He knows that you got dropped on your head when you was a baby. He knows that you're a little bit all over the place. He knows that this happened, that happened. You got abandoned, abused. You got talked about. You got this happened, that happened. He knows about all that. But they're guaranteed when he says, right now is the time for your breakthrough. Right now is the time for you to get up from where you're at. I want you to start walking now in faith. I want you to start being someone that other people are going to look at. It's going to stir their faith. Guaranteed, when you do that, there's going to be someone that he sends that is going to be able to help you up and give you a little push. The man was helped to his feet. Maybe you need help to get up on yours. It ain't unspiritual to accept a little helping hand. That's why God ordained the church, so that we would all get together and we would work together and we would encourage each other and exalt each other and we would testify to each other and we'd give each other psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. We'd prophesy to each other. We'd speak about the greatness of God and the things of God, and we'd help each other and we'd look out for each other and we'd do all that because we need each other, because each other helps us. Man. Number seven. I like to preach this in an African church. I think they'd all be jumping up and down by now, wouldn't they? Hallelujah. We used to be almost an African church at one time. What's happened? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're a mixed bag now. Hallelujah. Come on now. There was one time we was Cadbury's. Check this out. I kid you not. I'm telling you this because I love you. And, you know, I know you can handle it. But I had to deal with this. One time a guy came to me and said, Pastor Paul, he said, your church is just like a pint of Guinness. I was like, what? He said, it's mostly black but white at the top. Serious. I was going to get black on it, man. What? It don't matter. What your cultural background? It matters about your cultural future. And we're in the kingdom of God now, baby. And it don't matter if you're West Indian, it don't matter if you're African, it don't matter if you're white, it don't matter if you're Irish, it don't matter where you've come from, it matters where you're going. We celebrate every culture. What we don't tolerate is any culture that seeks to supersede itself above the kingdom of God.
but white people still can't jump. It's true, man. I watched this thing on YouTube the other day, right? Just a quick aside. I watched this thing on YouTube the other day about this new, like, tremendous basketball player in America, a young college kid. I mean, he is tremendous. He does all these tricks. He's only a little dude. Does all these tricks, flips it up. And, like, not just tricks, but he makes it happen. Bam, 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 bam. Bounces it off people's heads and runs past them and flicks it around them and all that, right? And he's just cutting through them like a knife through butter. And he gets up to the hoop and then he just flicks it up and some big black dude just jumps up and goes, flop. Come on, don't hate me, man. I love everyone. I really do. Number seven. Don't worry about how. Don't worry about how. When the man was responding to the word of God through the servant of God, by the Spirit of God, he didn't wonder how it was going to happen. He just did it. And the happening followed the faith. Sometimes we want it to happen before we have to believe. But we believe, and then we see. You know what caused Adam and Eve to fall? In the first place, was trying to become like what God said they already were through knowledge instead of through trust and obedience. Eat of everything in the garden, but do not touch the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for then you shall die. They'd already been created in the image of God. The tempter came and said, if you eat this fruit, you will become like God. They were already like God. And they were living like him in tremendous intimacy and innocence and relationship through faith and through trust. But when they started to try to achieve it through knowledge, they killed themselves. And when you try and receive spiritual things, through your own perception of intellect, knowledge, education, you're going to fall short. Otherwise, you would have saved yourself many years ago. Don't worry about how, just accept who. If God says it, I believe it. I want it, I'm going to do it. Job done. Accept the power of Jesus into your situation and then watch the miracles that happen. Stand to your feet right now. God can do it. God can do it, wherever it is. He might not do it in the way that you think it should be done, but he'll get the job done. Doesn't matter what other people have said. It doesn't matter what the facts are. Someone told me I'd never preach because I've got a Cockney accent and I haven't been educated. Like that. I'd never be able to build a church in Salford above maybe 50, maybe 100 people because it wasn't really done. Especially from people from the backgrounds that you're reaching out to. Then people said, all right, well, yeah, all right, you can reach out to drug addicts, but no one else is ever going to come. You realize that? No educated people are going to come with all them street people about. They're never going to come. Okay. So that was a fact. It doesn't happen. All right, that's a fact.
You're only going to have a one race church, one color, one ethnicity of church. It's going to be white, or it's going to be black, it's going to be African, or it's going to be West Indian, it's going to be white middle class, or it's going to be, you know, white old or white young. You're never going to get a mix. You're never going to be able to blend the cultures, Pastor Paul. Pastor Paul, you might have got away from drug addiction, but one day you're going to fall back. Because everyone does. I've heard it all, man. Pastor Paul, you're never going to be able to get a bunch of people in a church to get a building, a facility, do it all up, get a structure, a corporate structure, start other charities, work with other people, do anything that's worth it, get on the cutting edge, make a difference in society, or do anything like that. You're never going to do it. But I have faith in my God. And I have my beautiful days. Today's a beautiful day. Close your eyes. Father, we trust in you. Come and do what you want to do in our lives right now. Shock us, surprise us, transform us, change us. When we go through the river, we're waterproof. When we go through the fire, we're fireproof. When we go through darkness, we shine like lights. When depression comes upon us, we look to you and our hope brings us through. Because you are the same yesterday, today and forever, and you have done this before, we know you can do it again. Whatever it is today, we pray today would be a beautiful day in someone's life. Let all hindrance, all lack, all disability, whether it be spiritual, whether it be of the soul, or whether it be of the physical body, let it be changed right now because of Jesus. Come forward right now and be changed.